Happy Las Vegas.
Welcome to the game.
Sports 920, the game.
Power Play. Here's your host, C. Williams.
Radovich dropping by, dropping off these footballs, and just the love for the kids for the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation. Fifth year doing this toy drive, and nothing better than having people that care in the community. I mean, we got boxes of footballs. Kids were playing football here in the parking lot, and I got to say, Aji, she goes to Canyon Springs. She's 16. Her brother Dre and Arme. Angel tried to play a little catch and run out there with them, you know, a little touch football, and they just beat him down. These are like 13, 14, 15-year-olds, but athleticism in Vegas is growing. So thank you. Come on down. Remember where I'm at, 6,000 Southeastern. It's the fifth year, and we just do it. We get it done. We rock it, and this is how we do it in Vegas. Andy Isco, this is how he does it in Vegas, logical approach. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and thanks for coming again.
Merry Christmas, Seed. Happy holidays. And
thank you, brother.
There really is no greater joy than watching a child's face light up when they are surprised by something from Santa or a friend or something along those lines. It just gives you such pleasure to see those smiles.
How cool was that? You know, he's dropping them off. He didn't really want to get on camera, Tony. But it's like, come on over here, man. He dropped, I mean, I can't tell you how many footballs he just dropped. But we're going to be giving these away to the kids here. See you, Tone. Thank you, brother. And by the way, we just had Santa Claus roll up. Santa Claus took some time off to come and join us. He heard about the toy drive. He's in that mouse limo called Mouse One here from Truly Nolan Pest Control. And the kids were in there. He's telling them old stories about things that he's done over the years. So we've got it all lined up for you here. Boy, I'm, out of all the segments and days I've had, this is my fifth year doing it. Andy, you've been here for all of them, actually. This is my favorite day. I'm just watching my man right here, Angel, get beat down by the teenagers. Santa shows up in the limo, and you're coming through, Tony dropping in, all the other toys that are inside watching the kids come get them.
I think most of the kids, when they talk to Santa, they want to make sure that Rudolph is in fit shape for his adventures a few nights from now.
Absolutely, and we gave Rudolph some time off because that limo, take a shot of the limo that haven't seen it yet. It's called Mouse One. From Truly Nolan Pest Control. And he's hanging in the back right now just chillaxing. We're going to bring him on to give some stories. I'm quite sure he's 82 years of age. So he's taken a baton from some of the prior Santas, and he's been around for a while. You've been around for a while doing it too for Logical Approach.
And sometimes it seems like 82 years, let me tell you.
But your work is like you're a millennial. You get it done, man, like you're on that computer knocking it out. Before we get to week number 16 in the NFL, we have a couple of bowl games. One in particular going off tonight, San Diego and Ohio. Ohio's like a 2-point favorite, Andy, and 50 that total. Kind of a down year for the Aztecs. I say that in respect that last year we saw how good they were. And, of course, Penny, who they lost a year ago, doing it in Seattle. And they seem to keep bringing running backs through in San Diego, San Diego State, rather. But Ohio, that team, you're going to have to school us on. I don't have as much info. You have other details. Kind of tell us what you think about this bowl game tonight.
Well, one thing we have are two of the veteran coaches in all of college football. Of course, Rocky Long had a great stint in sort of building up the New Mexico program, and they had a fair amount of success in his last few years. He went on to San Diego State, and they've been a perennial bowl team pretty much ever since he took over. As you point out, he sent a number of very talented running backs into the NFL. They've always prided themselves on playing some pretty solid defense. And, of course, Ohio University, coached by Frank Solich, won a national championship a couple of decades ago when he was at Nebraska. He's developed a winning program at Ohio over the years. You know, often he'll get a lot of the Ohio State kids who don't make it to that program. They'll get a lot of the leftovers. There's a lot of connections now throughout the high schools in the state of Ohio. So they've been pretty much a perennial challenger in the Mid-American Conference. Both teams like to run the ball. The difference is that Ohio has a bit more difficulty stopping the run than does San Diego State. Now, in this game, I slightly prefer Ohio. I did not play it. I wanted to play San Diego State. But this, as you point out, this is not the same San Diego State that we've seen the last few years. Now, they do have a couple of things to their credit. They're one of the very few teams in the last decade that's been able to win on the road at Boise State. They did so earlier in the year, but they really struggled down the stretch. And those ugly losses as huge favorites to first UNLV and then to Hawaii, very disconcerting for a team that had better expectations, had higher expectations, and now their level of enthusiasm for this bowl has to be somewhat questioned. I think Ohio is a little bit more excited for this game. The MAC has not done well over really a number of years, and especially the last half dozen years in bowl games, but Ohio has been one of those teams that has had a decent amount of success. MAC already has lost a couple of games this year in the bowl games. Eastern Michigan lost to Georgia Southern. However, if you played Eastern Michigan late, +2.5, +3, you got the money because they ended up giving up a field goal up by one. They lost by 2 points to Georgia Southern. And then, of course, last night, Northern Illinois totally outclassed by Alabama Birmingham.
Yeah.
So the MAC off to its usual losing ways straight up at 1-1. That's one of their better records they've had after two bowl games in recent years. But I didn't have enough confidence to play either side. The total has come down. I think it was in the 53-54 area a couple of days ago. It's come down to 50. And I can understand that because both of these teams are better at running the football than at passing the football. And when you run the football the majority of the time, it means that your drives, your possessions take more time off the clock. And it takes more scoring. It takes more scoring to get over a total of 50 when you run the football because you need to do more with your possession. So it really takes more efficiency. And I'm not so sure that either of these teams are capable enough. I wouldn't be surprised if the game lands in the mid-40s, but I'm not sure that either team can get the 27 points.
You know, when we get to this time of year, Andy, what do you think the advantage, which side gets the advantage, offense or defense? And I say that because it's a letdown if you're forecast to be a team that's going to compete for the title in your conference and you don't, and you end up in a sub bowl, so to say. I hate to use that expression.
It's a minor bowl.
Right. So what do you think the advantage goes to, which side, the defense or the offense, when a team may not have the same incentive that they had if they were playing in a bigger bowl?
Well, I'm going to answer a little bit in a different way because really a lot of these bowl games prior to, let's say, the big games on New Year's Day and the college football playoff, which occurs a few days before, both teams are generally motivated for those games. But in these earlier bowl games, you don't necessarily have motivation on both teams. And so you tend to look for the team that the reports show that the team is excited to be there. And you take a look at a number of teams that are playing this week. And, you know, even you go to the game on New Year's night between Texas and Georgia. Georgia has to be pretty disappointed. They were leading Alabama. They were, you know, a couple of plays away from making it possibly into the college football playoff. And you have a number of those teams, especially in these minor bowl games, who had higher expectations. I'm sure San Diego State expected to be challenging for the Mountain West Conference title. you know, they've been a contender and in a number of championship games over the last half dozen years or so. But all things being equal, I tend to prefer defense over offense, because offense has to execute. Defense just has to react and stop. And when you have the time off, especially when you're going 2 to 3 weeks and you're not facing live opposition where their intention is to try and, you know, hit you hard and get the football from you, you're going up against other guys in practice. That play doesn't seem to be as sharp when you have to execute on offense as opposed to just make the tackles and be in position on defense. Of course, the other thing to keep in mind, all the players, and we're seeing it increasing each year, who decide to bypass the bowl games to preserve their health, let's say, for NFL combine days and the draft. You see Will Greer of West Virginia, he's sitting out. Oliver, the defensive lineman from Houston, is going to be out. Other guys as well. We saw the wide receiver Harry from Arizona State miss the Las Vegas Bowl for those reasons. It's totally understandable. Now, of course, there is a way to cure a lot of that, but the NCAA will never go for it.
Right.
You open up a playoff to 16 or 32 teams. If you got a chance to win a national title, I would say 95% of the kids who are thinking of sitting out would have no way that they would want to sit out in those situations, except in extreme situations. And even if you expanded the field to from 4 to 8, that'd be a few more kids likely to be able to participate in a game that actually meant something, other than, gee, it's nice to end our season with a win. If you actually have a chance to say, hey, we're 2 wins away from playing for the national title, that's a big incentive to stay.
Yeah, they'll give you a gift package. Maybe you get a watch, maybe a ring, or some binoculars or something, you know, nice, but not quite up to standard now for kids that are about to go pro or maybe move on in life and have some type of success.
It's easy to understand that, because the purpose of college is to prepare you for your profession.
Right.
There's no reason why being a football player should be treated any differently. And, you know, Seat, when you were in college and you were fielding all those offers from IBM and, you know, and all those technical companies that are not related to sports, had you been gotten the offer that made sense to you, you probably would have foregone your final seasons of college, if possible. That's a rare exception, of course, but the point is that if you've got an opportunity that you might not be able to get elsewhere, I can understand, especially if you're coming from disadvantaged backgrounds. You know, and you go way back to the NBA in the 1980s, I think, you know, like guys like Isaiah Thomas, there were exceptions. You were allowed to declare early for the NBA draft, and it had a lot to do with that. Now, there are different factors in play now, but it's certainly understand that, you know, if a kid has an opportunity, and they don't all work out, but if they have an opportunity, if you're really highly thought of, and, you know, kudos to the NCAA for relaxing those rules where you can basically withdraw as long as you haven't signed with an agent in many situations. If you've got an opportunity and you're expected to be highly drafted and you can set your family up for, you know, 2-3 generations, I think it's totally understandable.
Christian McCaffrey and Leonard Fournette, back in 2016, they were the trailblazers of, hey, I got to get myself ready. I don't want to get injured. I'll do a segment on that later as well. Andy Esco joining us here, Logical Approach on Power Play, doing it here with a toy drive, Toys for Hope. 5th annual in front of Truly Nolan Pest Control here in Vegas. Eastern, 6,000 Southeastern, right between Patrick Lane and Russell Road. And also want to thank once again Kevin Hicks of Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall, one of the chief sponsors, and Truly Nolan doing this thing. So many people have come through with gifts and things of that nature. The kids have eaten pizza, hot dogs, and soft drinks. Santa is sitting over there in the limo. We're going to get him on momentarily. But, Andy, let's talk a bit about some of the major bowl games coming up New Year's, actually the weekend of New Year's, on that Saturday, the 29th, and the two big games. Then, of course, they'll be playing the following Saturday. You know, did the committee get it right, in your opinion, Clemson in their matchup against Notre Dame? And then, on the other hand, you've got a high-powered offense in Oklahoma going up against the best team that we've seen, and the dynasty, we'll see if Roll Tide lives on. Did the committee get it right with those four teams, in your opinion?
Well, it would have been very difficult for them to mess it up this year, because three of the four were unbeaten in Notre Dame, Clemson, and Alabama. So it's just a question, you know, did you prefer Ohio State? Did you prefer Oklahoma? Did you prefer Georgia? I eliminated Ohio State on the basis of the ugliness of its loss to Purdue, 49-20 in midseason.
Right.
They really didn't seem to recover from that. You know, Oklahoma avenged its loss to Texas earlier in the season. And if you remember that, I think it was 48-45 in the Red River rivalry back in October, I believe it was. And Texas had a huge lead, and Oklahoma came all the way back in this game. I want to say they scored 21 points to tie it at 45, and Texas then got the winning field goal. That was their only blemish, and, of course, they avenged that in the Big 12 championship game. And, you know, Georgia, their one loss in the regular season was at LSU. It was a one-sided loss. I believe it was like 26-6 or something like that, 27-6, something like that. And they played very well throughout the season. And, of course, you know, they lost in overtime to Alabama in the championship game last year. So they would have made for an intriguing storyline for Georgia to have made it into the Final Four. They had their chances against Alabama. They led Alabama for much of that game. They had that two-touchdown lead late, and Alabama found a way to come back. And I think in the eyes of the committee that perhaps the way that that game ended, it was difficult. You know, you might have argued that Georgia played a tougher schedule than did Oklahoma, except for the fact that Georgia had, and I forget who the opponent was, but they did play one game against an FCS team, you know, the old 1AA. Oklahoma, I don't believe, did, and I think that that was the that may have been one of the deciding factors. You could make a case that Oklahoma succeeded in a conference that wasn't very good defensively, was the case in the Big 12, and, you know, maybe that's part of the argument as to why the Oklahoma quarterback Murray won the Heisman over Tagovailoa. The fact is that Alabama may have had the more impressive offensive stats, but they also had the much better defense. Murray for Oklahoma, he had to put up 40 points a game because Oklahoma was giving up 38 in many cases. So you could make that argument, but I think the committee ultimately got it right. However, and I say it every year, and I'll continue to say it until they expand the playoffs to at least eight teams. This is not a college football playoff. It's a college football invitational. You have to be invited. You don't earn it on the field of play because there are five power conferences, and yet this year, two of them are going to be left out. No team from the Pac-12, no team from the Big Ten. How can you have a playoff if you don't have a representative from the major conferences involved? You could also argue, and I can understand it, Central Florida, second straight unbeaten season. They should have some spot in this playoff, and you need to expand it to eight teams. And, you know, you give it in a deserving year to a member of the group of five, Central Florida from the American Athletic Conference. Now, when you have a team like Notre Dame, which is not an affiliate in a conference, and they are deserving, as they are this year, well, that means that, again, you've got, of the five power conferences, two of them, by definition, have to be left out in a group of four. So I don't really think it's a playoff. We're starting to hear, I think, a little bit of buzz from some circles that they may expand it to eight. And when it gets down to it, you know, it's all about money. And I think when the Big Ten misses out a couple of years in a row, the Big 12, I think, missed out a couple of years in a row. Now the Pac-12 is out a couple of years in a row. That's a lot of money that these conferences are giving up. And I can understand them saying, well, okay, 1 year, but 2 years in a row, no. We've got to restructure this, and I think it comes within the next 5 years.
I will say this. The contract will be up by then. Then they can decide, because they're probably going to have...
They could break it earlier if they want. If both parties, ESPN or Fox or whoever's involved, agree, sure they can.
Yeah. The Pac-12 hasn't really lived up to be one of the qualifying conferences. You know, you like eight. I like the idea of six. Actually, I like it like it is now. But if they're going to move it, I want to add two teams, not four teams, because I think the idea of having a bye for the top two teams wouldn't be a bad idea. The other thing we have to realize is that all this vacant time they have right now, the downtime, they could start playing the tournament like this weekend, right? They've had time for the teams to relax. The season's been over a couple of weeks now. They don't really need a whole month to prepare, because we don't really want to drag this too far into January. At that point, of course, you still have the NFL playoff games. The kids are in school still, and they have obligations other than playing football, even though many of them are trying to strive for a career in football.
Well, actually, a couple of points here. I would be in favor of my ideal solution would be, that's practical, would be a 16-team playoff.
Because 16?
Yeah. You have the champions of the 10 Division I FBS conferences. If you don't like the Sun Belt or the Mountain West, get them out of this division, move them down to where they have their championship in the FCS, or create their own playoffs. But as long as they meet the qualification for being an FCS conference, their champion deserves to be in a playoffs. Now, there are ways that you can modify it, but the point is you'd have all conferences represented. You'd have six at-large berths available, okay? Now, the reason I say 16 works is you talked about all the time off. Well, first of all, the kids are out of school from around the middle of December to often the middle of January, so that's not a problem. It's certainly not the same issue that they have in college basketball, where kids are not only missing time to travel across the country to play in tournament games, they're missing times in the middle of the week when they play on Thursdays and Fridays. They're not as opposed to playing on weekends, such as the case here. So you've got the structure. You've got a number of the existing bowls that could be used for neutral sites. And I've made this argument earlier. If I'm a student, say, at Cal, and they've done away with their baseball program because of a lack of funding, you know, I'd say, hey, you know what, maybe we can have some sort of action there, because college football, Cal, all the conferences, they're turning down the literally billions of dollars that would be raised by the networks paying for what is a true all-American, nationally embraced college football playoff. And the timing is right. You mentioned buys. You know, a lot of these teams are going to be off for 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. So they are not only rested, they may be rusty. If you were to, say, take 2 weeks off, let's say the season, that you do away with the conference championship games, because if you win a conference championship game, it doesn't mean you're going to get into the playoff if your conference is selected. We've seen that a number of years. We saw Georgia, for example, Alabama wasn't even in the SEC championship game last year, and they got into the college football playoff. Of course, Georgia beat Auburn and got in. But the point is, let's say the regular season ends on Thanksgiving, okay? 2 weeks later, you start the round of 16. Then the week after that, or you can even spread it out into January, you need 16, 8, 4, and 2. So you need 4 weekends. Maybe you spread it out over 6 weeks so you can build it up a little bit. It's definitely workable.
Andiesco logical approach, giving you a logical solution to just having four teams and multiplying that into 16 teams. I prefer the four or the six. Eventually, it's going to be 12. We know it's just too much money involved. Down the road, there's going to be a minimum of eight. Okay, I think we agree on that. They're going to double it.
I think eight has to work because you have to include the five major conference champions and allow for the possibility of a Notre Dame. Now, you could work with six teams rather than eight. In other words, you could do it like seeds one and two get byes, and then three plays six and four plays five, much like you do it in the NFL, where in each conference there are six teams and one and two seeds get byes and the other four play to meet the top two seeds the following week. So you could do it with six, but I think ideally eight would be fair. It would also allow, when deserving, not automatically, but when deserving, one of those non-Power 5 conferences to get in. For example, a Central Florida this year. Now, there might not be a deserving team in 1 year, which is fine, but if the group of five presents a team that, according to most people, would be deserving, and I think you could say Central Florida certainly this year would be, you would include it. So you could do that with a field of six, but I think ideally a field of eight would be fair, especially, again, because seeding, you know, in the NFL, you earn the number one and two seeds, okay?
Right.
In the college football playoff, you are assigned the number one and two seeds. Why didn't Notre Dame get seeded number one or number two? They were unbeaten. They arguably played as challenging a schedule as Clemson and Alabama. The point is that because you would assign the number one and two seeds, you can make an argument that no team should get a bye, that all eight teams have to play straight through.
Andy Esco gets it. I get it as well. Andy, can you hang around for a bit?
Absolutely.
We'll step away. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the big games coming up in a Saturday from this one, and also key games in week number 16 in the NFL. Power play, getting it on with the toy drive.
Few things in life are more exciting than Las Vegas' hometown hockey team. If you're going to some of the games this season, Ellis Island invites you to join them for a great pregame experience. Starting 2 hours before every game, stop by for the best pregame special. $6 slap shots. That's a shot in any Ellis Island beer along with some snacks. Before the puck drops, head for Ellis Island on Cobalt Lane at Flamingo for some great pregame fun. You might even win a custom-made hometown hockey jersey. Ellis Island says have fun and please drink responsibly.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to have the big, luscious lips you have always dreamed about. In just 20 minutes, you can have the lips you always desired, and for a limited time, when you buy one filler, you get Botox for free. Yes, that's right. No gimmicks, no fine print. Buy one filler and get free Botox. Get the lips to match your beautiful body and watch the heads turn. Call now, 702-749-7575 to schedule your appointment, or visit SymmetryMedicalSpa.com. Symmetry Medical Spa. 749-7575. Te habla español.
For the best southern fixin' and soul food in town, you gotta hit up TC's Rib Crib. 3655 South Durango, number 18. They have the best spare ribs in town. Fried chicken? Been there, done that. Check out their award-winning catfish, also the candied yams, their collard greens. Kids eat free on Monday. TC Rib Crib. Give them a call at 702-451-RIBS. 702-451-7427. TC Rib Crib, the best soul food in Vegas. Join me each and every Thursday at High Scores Bar Arcade, where we'll be doing it live. We'll get underway at 3 o'clock with Power Play, the show. We'll present that. Then it's the NFL Thursday Night Football Party. Happy hours from 4 to 6. During the party, NFL player jerseys, Vegas Golden Knights gear, shows, movies, Rebel Eats, and more. Power Play from 3 to 4. Happy hour. Then the NFL Thursday Night Football Party, hosted by yours truly at High Scores Bar Arcade. Stephanie and the 215 on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game.
Go with ReliableBanner.com.
With the holidays here, you need signs and custom banners that can be produced quickly. You need Reliable Banner. We can produce signs and banners for all your holiday corporate events, private parties, and New Year's celebrations. Reliable Banner will print it, stitch it, fly, and post it. And it's 100% reliable. Happy holidays from Reliable Banner.
Go with Reliable, ReliableBanner.com.
Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our trouble will be out of sight. And have yourself a merry little Christmas.
Rocking it. Getting busy here. The 5th annual Toy Drive, Toys for Hope. Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation. Seat Williams rocking it. Power Play 328 in the Valley. Andiesco Logical Approach to my right. Santa's going to come up in a bit. We're going to put him in between us. We're going to give our Christmas wishes as he's been working. I mean, the kids were with him in there. He's telling stories. They're singing carols. My God, this is my favorite day, Andy, of all the ones we've done. And in fact, the Lord up above has given us some great weather. You've been here for the prior four. It's either been raining or super windy at 20.
Or very, very cold, too.
All three. And winter is officially underway Friday. This is not winter in Vegas, is it?
No, this is beautiful. This is like a nice little warm spell that breaks up for a few days. I understand that as we get closer to Christmas, the cold weather will return, although no snow in our forecast, which is, in fact, what did I see? Yesterday was 10 years to the day when we had that nice morning snowfall here.
Remember
in the,
that?
In the valley.
It snowed in Vegas 10 years today.
Significantly.
Ago.
I want to say it was, what, four or five? I thought I heard somewhere it was 6 inches.
It stuck.
In a couple places.
It stuck. It was on the ground.
I remember the Welcome to Las Vegas sign was covered in snow. It made the national news that day.
That was awesome. Andy, let's go to the big games coming up next Saturday. Notre Dame, Clemson, Bama, Oklahoma. Bama, first of all, two-touchdown favorite, about 80 the total. in that matchup, and obviously the total's up there because of Oklahoma's firepower on offense. They've got the receivers, the quarterback, the Heisman Trophy winner. Their defense has improved against the run. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we know Bama's going to score on the defense of Oklahoma, but how many points can the Sooners actually put up on that tied defense for that total to be raised all the way up to 80?
Yeah, this this total seems to be more reflective of the Oklahoma offense rather than the Alabama defense. And, you know, you asked before in the previous segment, did the committee get it right? And I said, yeah, they basically had to. And then I brought up the question about seeding 1 and 2. You know, why wasn't Notre Dame 1 or 2? Well, you know, the way that I did my analysis throughout the season, I have Alabama and Clemson much, much better than either Notre Dame or Oklahoma, especially Notre Dame, who was unbeaten. And I think that's reflected by the fact that both games involved double-digit point spreads. Even against Oklahoma, Alabama's, what, a 13.5, 14-point favorite? Clemson, which opened 11, is all the way up to 13.5. And it's hard to say that they're justified, but they're understandable because the numbers, and certainly the numbers that I keep, suggest that there is a double-digit difference between Alabama and Oklahoma, just as there is between Clemson and Notre Dame. Now, as far as Alabama-Oklahoma goes, one of the sidelights of this is maybe the Heisman Trophy factor, that maybe Alabama will be out to prove that their guy should have won the Heisman Trophy. So maybe that might cause Alabama to be a bit more, aggressive on offense going up against that Oklahoma defense, and at the same time be even more aggressive defensively against the Oklahoma offense, because, you know, maybe their thinking would be, and again, I don't know how much this will play into it, but the thinking will be, we don't have to prove that Ty was the more deserving quarterback, okay, and they're going to put points up on him, but we have to prove that Tyler Murray's accomplishments were based largely on the fact that they played some very, very weak defenses, or some relatively weak defenses in Big 12 play. Certainly, if you look at the numbers, and they bear that out, I've got some numbers as far as how these teams have done only against the FBS competition that they faced. Alabama, you know, ranked second in yards per play on offense, 7.7. Oklahoma was 8.8, so they had a little bit of an edge, Oklahoma. But when you look defensively, Alabama, 4.5 yards per play. That's seventh nationally amongst 130 teams. Oklahoma, well, if they were average, even there in the 50s or 60s, you'd say okay. But Oklahoma, that defense allowed an average of 6.0 yards per play. That ranked 91st. That's basically in the bottom quarter of the 130 teams, or almost in the bottom quarter. So you know, these teams have played 11, 12, 13 games, so it's not just one bad performance that influences these numbers. You know, if you're giving up 9 yards per play, but you've only played 2 games in the season, well, one of those games you were in a shootout. When you're giving up, 6 yards per play after 12 or 13 games, that shows a consistent defensive inability. Now, some may argue, well, you know, Oklahoma was ahead by a lot, so they just relaxed on defense. They were ahead by a lot in a lot of those games. They had a couple of tight games that they had to get by that they ultimately did win, and of course, they did lose that first shootout to Texas, giving up 48 points in total.
And, of course, even the score there when it got them to win the conference championship. The other game, though, is...
And by the way, it's hard to go against Nick Saban when he's got effectively a month to prepare for any opponent. Now, yeah, it is a big number. But, you know, Nick Saban, we saw what he does when he's got an ability to put the throat on an opponent that, I don't want to downgrade other opponents, that deserves his respect. I mean, yeah, you might take it easy against Vanderbilt because you know Vanderbilt can't come back. Oklahoma, I'm sure he respects Oklahoma and their ability to points on the board. So if he's got an opportunity to pile up points against Oklahoma, he'll take advantage.
And pay attention to the prop bets. Quarters are up. Maybe you look at the fourth quarter. Look, if there's desperation involved there with the Sooners, they're going to be putting it up, and maybe some points will be taking that particular prop in that quarter for you.
I'll tell you the prop I'd like to see. Over under 2.5 players to throw passes. I think he's going to get Hurts in there as well after what happened last year. So I think he's going to try and have him at some point in the game play meaningful minutes.
Be a factor. All right, let's go to the other game, and there, Clemson-Notre Dame. You mentioned Clemson all the way up to 13 right now. That total at 55.5, more standard. And what they're telling us here is we're going to have a game that is meeting at the 50-yard line where there's not going to be a ton of points that are, you know, maybe a control game, not much turnover action, and then no real big plays, even though the kid freshman for Clemson, I mean, he can spin it. So this game right here is more standard of what we've seen of lines during the regular campaign of college football. However, I'm glad Notre Dame is in the pool, and I say that because it's a team that played teams that traditionally were very good teams, even though this year they're not, their power rankings aren't as good as they were, but they went undefeated. You book that schedule, you don't really know what you're coming up against, and Notre Dame every year has one of the strongest schedules on paper and by tradition as any other football team. The question is, are these teams in the Pac-12, Southern Cal, what are they going to be like? Some of the other teams they played, we don't know how good they're going to be. Well, guess what? Notre Dame's not afraid to punch them in on the schedule. And so I think going undefeated with that schedule, they earn their way in to be in the four.
Oh, no question about it. The number would be in the four, seeded number three. They deserved it. And they actually play, you know, they play almost annually. They play, I think, now Stanford and Southern Cal from the Pac-12. They, of course, play, they're sort of like an informal member of the ACC. They play a number of teams from the ACC in recent years since they've had that affiliation. Of course, they're a member of the ACC in basketball now, but in football they're still independent. So they get to play a wide variety of teams on the national scene, and they also have a bit of a disadvantage sometimes because they only get to play a couple of teams from conferences, so they don't have the same familiarity that other opponents of USC, that the Pac-12 opponents of USC may have, that the Pac-12 opponents of Stanford, that the ACC opponents of the teams that they play, the North Carolinas or the Pittsburghs in the case of this year, or the Vanderbilts in the SEC. So they don't have that same level of familiarity of how to beat those teams that they play outside of their region, etc. So when I first saw this matchup, I expected my numbers to figure that this would be a relatively closer matchup than double digits. But when I actually looked at the power ratings and the numbers that I use, the formulas that I use, I could justify Clemson being about a 14-point favorite over Notre Dame. I think the big edge here comes with Notre Dame not having anything close to the offense that Clemson has. Defensively, very impressive. In fact, I mentioned yards per play, which is a nice statistical measure. I prefer it over yards per game. Clemson led the nation, 4.2 yards per play. Notre Dame was number 7 at 4.5, so they put up some very good defensive numbers against the teams they played. But offensively, there was a significant difference between Clemson and Notre Dame. Even on the yards per play, Clemson averaged more than a yard per play, more than Notre Dame did. And especially when it came to running the football, where Clemson averaged 6.7 yards per rush. That's 2 yards more than the Notre Dame average, which is still pretty good at 4.6, but Clemson able to run the ball. They're able to get some defensive pressure against the run, although Notre Dame pretty good. Notre Dame allows 3.7 yards per rush. That's very good. Clemson allows 2.4. Ooh. I mean, that's outstanding, and they've been very dominant. Now, I will suggest that Notre Dame overall may have played a somewhat more difficult schedule, but not significantly more difficult. So I think that the committee got it right. I think the committee seeded it correctly, and I think we're going to see yet another showdown between Alabama and Clemson in what I guess I will argue is college football's version of the NBA Golden State Cleveland finals that we've seen that we saw for four straight years. These teams are meeting I think it would be a third straight year in the finals and fourth straight year overall.
Andy Isco, Logical Approach, getting it right here. I'll tell you what, Andy, we're going to step away. Well, let me at least put the number out there. Baltimore and the L.A. Chargers. I'm headed to that ball game, by the way, courtesy of Finley Acura in the Valley Auto Mall. My first trip into StubHub. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to have to block out the gridlock, right? Because I've seen the Chargers forever, but I haven't seen them in L.A., so I missed them last year. I'm catching them on a Saturday night. They're favored by 4.5. The total, they're 43.5. Every time I saw the Ravens play the Chargers, the last four games in San Diego, the Ravens won every game. You remember when they tried to have, was it Sproles, go up the middle and Lewis just blew him up?
That was that fourth down play,
yep.
I believe.
The other play, where it was fourth and 26. They got the first down and won that. I'm at those games. I'm in the locker room, and there's no locker room in any sport that's a professional level, a major league level, like the Baltimore Ravens when they win a game. It's like a high school team just won the state finals. Everything is up. I mean, the music's blowing up. They're showing love. You ask them any question, they're answering every question. Suggs, by the way, Terrell Suggs, I'll share this story. This is the year that Ray Lewis had the injury with his foot, and he's in a boot, and his foot is actually in the ice tray, and Terrell Suggs is sitting there, and I'm walking up to him, and I'm not doing the Facebook at that time. I'm doing just a radio interview. I'm like, Terrell, can we go? He's like, sure. And he's got his shirt off. And so Ray looks over and he's like, hey, Terrell, hey, what did I tell you, man? This is Ray Lewis. He's like, what, Ray? He says, put the shirt on. You know, I mean, that's the alpha all the way. And so, oh, I'm sorry, Ray. That tells you, I mean, when Ray Lewis was there, they're not quite the team that they had with that stability and that leadership, but they're still predicated off of defense. So Andy will give you his assessment of that game. Also, Nick Hamilton, he's down in L.A. where – he'll be doing some interviews for his show Morning After, and I'll be there as well. And Santa Claus is going to join us on the set. We want to get in our wishes and things that we want under the tree this year. So Power Play, doing it live, the 5th annual Toy Drive, Toys for Hope, the Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation, right here at 6000 Southeastern. I'll be here all through tonight and until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. So please bring more gifts down. The kids will love you. And everything is going well. Andy, we'll stick around. We'll step away on Power Play more after this.
Symmetry Medical Spa. They'll straighten you up from head to toe. Call them at 702-749-7575. That's Symmetry Medical Spa.
Symmetry Medical Spa wants you to laugh, love, and live again. How, you ask? Symmetry Medical Spa is offering FemTouch. FemTouch is a medical, non-invasive urinary incontinence procedure that will control bladder leakage and tighten the vaginal wall. It only takes 2 to 3 treatments and only 5 minutes of your time in our office. Symmetry Medical Spa always offers free consultations, and for a limited time, you can receive $1,000 off. Easy financing. Lands are available. Call now, 702-749-5575. And ask about their free Botox special. Se habla español.
Finlay Automotive Group is pleased to introduce Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas at 5385 West Sahara Avenue. Come see their lineup of new vehicles. Test drive the cars you know to combine technology, safety, and luxury. Now showing at the all-new Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas.
This Christmas, the Salvation Army is fighting to ensure that every child in our community is warm, safe, and well-nourished. For $30, you could feed a family of four for a week. For $150, you could feed a meal to 150 children in need. The Salvation Army provides over 9 million nights of shelter to people in need in the U.S. Help the Salvation Army fight for those in need all over our community this holiday season by donating at salvationarmy.listenandgive.org.
Get the gift of clear vision this holiday season with All Laser LASIK at Wellish Vision Institute. If you're still wearing glasses or contacts, the Wellish Vision Institute wants to let you know that through this month, we're making LASIK more affordable than ever. Call now and you'll receive $1,000 off All Laser LASIK. Dr. Wellish was the first surgeon in Nevada to perform laser vision correction, has been voted a top doc multiple years in a row, and is Las Vegas Eye Doctor's number one choice for LASIK. Dr. Wellish is so confident in his results that he offers the exclusive LASIK Lifetime Assurance Plan. We are excited to announce our newest additional location in Henderson and are now accepting new patients. Call before the end of the month and you will receive a free LASIK consultation along with $1,000 off LASIK and 0% financing for 2 full years. That's 702-733-2020 or visit wellishvision.com. Now is the time to change your life. Certain restrictions apply. Financing with approved credit.
Today we're talking to Glenn Lerner from Glenn Lerner Injury Attorneys. Glenn, tell me, what areas of law are handled by your firm?
We handle all injury cases from car wrecks, 18-wheelers and motorcycle accidents, to slip and falls, burn cases, brain injuries, and wrongful death. If you're injured and it's not your fault, call us today. Don't forget, we also handle Social Security disability claims.
Glenn Lerner is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Las Vegas is now a hockey town. Don't miss college hockey at T-Mobile Arena when the puck drops for the second annual Ice Vegas Invitational on January 4th and 5th. Western Michigan battles UConn and Air Force faces St. Lawrence in the opening round on Friday night. Tickets are on sale now at T-MobileArena.com. It's college hockey action at the Ice Vegas Invitational, January 4th and 5th at T-Mobile Arena. Get your tickets now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Earning your degree from one of the top business schools in the country might sound impossible to fit into your workload. But what if there were a business degree that furthered your career and gave you access to world-renowned faculty, leaders, and mentors, all on your schedule? One that opened doors to some of the most influential CEOs, tech companies, law firms, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. And what if you could earn that degree in as little as 16 months, 100% online? To find out more, text CYCLE to 79645. That's CYCLE to 79645. Start your online MBA, Information Management, or Business Analytics Master's program from the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University today. Learn more about the W.P. Carey Business Graduate Programs online. Text CYCLE to 79645. That's CYCLE to 79645.
Drone use is on the rise, but for years, Las Vegas SkyCam has led the way in Southern Nevada, providing construction companies, developers, and real estate companies with a new way to view their projects and property. In full compliance with the FAA, licensed and insured, Las Vegas SkyCam uses only state-of-the-art drone technology, delivering high-quality aerial photos and videos at great rates. See our work by clicking on LasVegasSkyCam.com or call 702-321-3723.
It's cold outside.
I got to go home.
Baby, it's cold outside.
In and house
and hoping that you
say that again. You're not allowed to play that. Not allowed to play that, says Santa. I'm politically correct.
I think that's carrying things a little too far. No. I think it's a great song.
No, if Santa hears Happy Holidays, he goes into a tizzy.
Santa hanging on the set with Andy Esco of Logical Approach, yours truly. And also Nick Hamilton, morning after. He's on the phone line. Nick, welcome, brother.
Hey, how you doing, C?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Santa's here with us, Andy Esco. And I got to tell you right now, we've got one game we're going to handicap. The only game we're going to handicap is the Baltimore Ravens and the L.A. Chargers. I'll be down there with you at that game. Nick, 4.5 and 44.5. Andy, first of all, your thoughts about that?
Well, from a football fan standpoint, I think this is a very attractive game. From a handicapping perspective, it's very difficult because these are two teams I like and two teams that I've gone on for much of the season. Having said that, getting more than a field goal and certainly 4.5 with Baltimore would be the way that I would look to play this game because I could see this coming down to a field goal. I expect it to be a relatively low-scoring game with both defenses outshining both offenses. And Baltimore has as much... No, Chargers are playing to possibly get the number one seed. The Ravens are playing to just get into the playoffs. So I think because of that, I'd prefer to take the points. Although, in the NFL, nothing would surprise me.
Well, Santa Claus is here with us. And Nick Hamilton, before you give us an analysis, Santa wants to know what you want under the tree this year for Christmas.
Oh, Nick, I always...
Nick's on the phone.
I'll take that.
He says $1 million. He's greedy.
Nick, I have a great deal of honor towards anyone named Nick.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Saint Nick. He's there got class and style. Boy, he's quick on his feet. Santa, let me tell you what I want. I'm a native San Diegan, and even though they play in L.A., I want the Chargers to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I do too. I'm from, I really love the city of Chula Vista.
Okay.
I've always visited there with pleasure.
And presence.
And you know, it's just a great place. So I'm with the San Diego Chargers.
Okay. All right. Andy?
Well, you know, I might go along the same lines. Growing up in New York, we've had two football teams ever since I've been alive. And, of course, the Giants have had great success. The New York Jets, well, they won perhaps the most important game in football history when they beat the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III, but they haven't even been back to the Super Bowl since then. So we're coming up on the 50th anniversary season next year for the Super Bowl New York Jets. I'd like to – I won't be greedy. Let's just have the Jets make the playoffs.
Okay, so next year.
Next year, next season.
Nick, I'm going to let you be more reasonable about what you would really like under your tree.
let's get the Chargers to the Super Bowl so I can be there too.
There you go. See, and you know, if they do go, it's in Atlanta. I've got relatives down there. I'm likely going. This is my first trip to the StubHub. Tell me what I'm in for at the StubHub here as far as the ambiance and things of that nature, Nick.
Well, it's a great place to watch football. You're literally on top of the game, so to speak, so there's not a bad seat in the house. You're probably going to be around 50-50 fans. It's probably going to be 50% Ravens fans, 50% Charger fans. Although that could slightly change with the increase in sudden popularity of the Chargers now that they have a legitimate chance of actually reaching the Super Bowl. So you may get a little sprinkle of more, a little bit more fans that are wearing the powder blue and the navy blue jerseys. But when it comes to the game, I mean, the Chargers are definitely, I understand why they're favorite. You look at what Phillip Rivers has done up until this point, and now he gets his premier running back into the fold, and Melvin Gordon, who's healthy now. He's going to be ready to play. You still have Justin Jackson behind Melvin Gordon. I don't think Austin Ekeler plays this week. It would be safe to say it would be better for Austin Ekeler to pretty much hold out the rest of the season until he gets completely healthy, because if they do end up with the number one seed, they have a first-round bye. So that gives 3 weeks to Austin Ekeler to prepare to get healthy and get ready for their upcoming opponent. But as of Saturday night, I mean, you look at what they have on the defensive side. I know Baltimore's defense is good, but the Chargers' defense is much better. You got the two bookends. You have Derwin James, who could be an all-pro, who's definitely a Pro Bowl selector. He can go inside. He can go outside. You might get Brandon Mebane back, which would be a huge plus. When you look at Joey Bosa, you look at Melvin Ingram, and I look at that offense. I mean, you got Keenan Allen practice today for the first time, which is good, so that hip is not as sore as he once thought, which is a good thing. You're going to have Travis Benjamin. You're going to have Tyrell Williams. You're going to have Mike Williams coming off a hat trick against the Kansas City Chiefs. We had 3 touchdowns in that game, first time ever in his career. So I'm looking forward to bigger and better things for Mike Williams. I think he's going to get loose and get open. Eric Weddle, who's still old and slow and mad. He's a grumpy old man. He's no matchup for what that wide receiving core is going to do to the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, I love Lamar Jackson. I like the progress that he's made, the strides that he's made. He showed you that he not only can run, but he can throw in the pocket, out of the pocket. His accuracy has increased and developed over the last several games. So you got to be careful with Lamar Jackson, because he can definitely – you'd rather Lamar Jackson beat you with his arm than beat you with his legs. And that's something that the Chargers defense has to be aware of and maintain, because they have to keep this guy neutralized or contained enough where he can't make those breakout throws or make that 15 to 20-yard breakout run and then slide and get the first down and keep the chains moving. So that's the X factor, is making sure that you can contain somehow Lamar Jackson if you're on the Chargers defense. Other than that, it's the Chargers game to lose, but I think they go ahead and take care of business. And on top of that, I think Seattle goes ahead and takes care of business against the Chiefs up in Seattle and helps the Chargers out, gives them a Christmas gift.
Santa, I'm quite sure you have a story you want to tell us here. Nick, thanks for that.
Well, before that, I'd like to get in on Nick's conversation. You don't know the amount of letters and requests on my list for tickets to the Super Bowl this year, because it's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is swarming me with their request to get to the Super Bowl.
Okay. So
that's my dilemma. How do I answer San Diego Chargers and the Pittsburgh?
Andy?
Nick, I wanted to ask you, has there been any talk about the NFL being concerned that if the Chargers get to the AFC Championship game, they'd be playing it in a stadium that is less than half the capacity of the other stadiums in the league? Any talk about them possibly moving it to one of the larger venues in the LA area?
And we have 30 seconds, Nick.
No, not at all. I mean, first of all, it's about the bottom line. It's about the economics. And when you can charge double the price for the tickets because you do have less room and people are still waiting in line for demand for these tickets, NFL is not concerned at all. They're making sure their bottom line checks out. So I expect the AFC Championship, if the Chargers do end up with the number one seed, they'll be hosting either Kansas City or New England for the AFC title.
Nick, quickly let the folks know where they can find you.
You can find me every Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, the morning after, with Nick Hamilton, Accelerated Radio, iHeart Radio, and then make sure you hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Nick Hamilton LA. Thanks for
Andy Isco.
Look forward to seeing you out here on Saturday, man.
I'll see you Saturday. Andy?
TheLogicalApproach.com is where they can find my statistics for the major sports and, of course, a contributor each week to Gaming Today, currently writing on the NFL and the NBA.
Santa?
Nick, you better get to work on that ho-ho-ho business. You got to practice that. It's a good feeling.
He likes all Knicks, by the way. Saint Nick. Appreciate you.
How about the New York Knicks?
Hey,
there you
go. Some work there, right?
Yeah.
That'll wrap it up for Ari, Angel, Mike U, and Ray, working here with Truly Nolan Pest Control. I'm Seat Williams. The 5th Annual Toy Drive, Toys for Hope, Nevada Childhood Cancer Foundation continues. I'll be here till 10 o'clock tomorrow. Come down and see me. Santa was here with the kids all day. Andy's hanging out. Appreciate you all. Folk, remember, look under your trees in a week or so. Keep your chins tucked low, your guards up high. We'll see you on the radio more. Coming up later, that's NBC Sports Radio 920. Power up. Santa says power out.